appreciate another opportunity to share the Word of God and pray that our study today will be very profitable and useful, and that we will understand the Word of God as He gives it to us. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, the Father describes Jesus in a strange way. But this strange way is very meaningful, or should be very meaningful to each one of us. And I'd like to examine this expression this morning and see several other times in which he uses the same language. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus, this is who the letter is from, and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now notice that expression right there at the very beginning. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Now why is it important that Jesus is a witness? And of course it's important that we all be faithful. But Jesus is described as the faithful witness. Again, Revelation 3, verse 14, he adds another word to that same expression. Revelation 3, 14, he's writing the church to the Laodiceans, who were totally unfaithful. And unto the angel of the Lord of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The faithful and the true witness. Now, a witness is not the source. A witness tells what somebody else has done or what somebody else has said. And so Jesus, then, being a faithful witness, is going to be testifying to what he has seen or what he has heard. And so how, then, is Jesus the true and faithful witness? Let's turn to John, the third chapter. And what I'd like to point out today is that the Father describes Jesus in this way in many different ways, in many different times. And here is John the Baptist now describing Jesus as a faithful witness. John the third chapter, verses 30 and 31. John says, he, Christ, must increase and I must decrease. John 30, verse 31. He that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. Now notice in verse 32, and what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receives his testimony. Notice, that which he has seen and heard, no man, that he testifies, and no man receives his testimony. So Jesus is a faithful witness of what he has seen and what he has heard. Then again in John the third chapter, verse 34, for whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So where did Jesus then get his words? We're looking then at John the seventh chapter, verses 16 and 17. Jesus was a faithful witness to his Father's words, not to his own. Now that's going to become very important in this lesson. Jesus is not testifying of his own words, but he's testifying to what he has seen and what he has heard. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So where did Jesus get his doctrine? He didn't make it up. All right, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He says, now that's very, very important. You need to understand it, he says. You need to understand whether this is my own doctrine or whether I'm getting this doctrine from my Father. So the important thing in this is that he is a witness, not of the things that he has thought or said, but rather what his Father has said. John the 8th chapter in verse 28, Jesus testifies again that what he is teaching is only what he's heard from his Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and, notice, that I do nothing of myself, But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So Jesus now was totally faithful to the Father. He says, I'm not saying anything of myself, but as my Father taught me, that's what I'm speaking to you. So Jesus then is a faithful witness for the Father. Then in verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen from your Father. So again, he says it, I speak what I have heard from my Father. And then in verse 40, and now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. So again, where did Jesus get his truth? He said, the truth I'm giving you is what I heard from God. So he's a faithful witness of what he has seen and what he has heard. Now we're going to John the 12th chapter in verse 49. John 12, verse 49. Now he's testifying again of the same thing. Now why does Jesus tell us this over and over and over and over again? You know, if we as parents say it one time, that should be enough. What about two times? What about three? What about four? What about five and six? This is just in one book. Is it important? John 12, verse 49. And I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. So again, Jesus says, I'm a faithful witness. I've heard it from my Father. I'm repeating only what I have heard. John 14 and verse 10. Again, John 14 and verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So who's doing these works? He says, the Father that dwells in me, he is doing these works. So Jesus is a faithful witness of what he has seen and what he has heard. John 15, verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, he told the apostles, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Why? For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So is Jesus the source of all these things? Now remember, Jesus is our example. And if Jesus does not speak of himself and he's creator, then what should we do? Then again in John 17 and verse 8. John 17, verse 8. And I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Where'd he get them? I have given unto them, the apostles, the words, not word, but the words, individual, that you gavest me. And they have received them, and known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So the apostles now are hearing the words. Where did Jesus get them? He said, I got them all from my Father. And I call you friends. Why? Because everything I've heard from my Father, I'm giving unto you. Well, what kind of a heart is this? A faithful and a true witness. In Luke the 12th chapter, verses 11 and 12, Jesus testified the Holy Spirit would teach the apostles what to say. Luke the 12th chapter, verse 11, and when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. So what were the apostles then to do? They are to take what the Holy Spirit gives them, and they are to give those words. Then in Matthew the 10th chapter, he says it again. Matthew 10, verses 17 to 19. And we find now that the apostles are walking in Jesus' steps. Jesus was a true and faithful witness. Now, what are the apostles commanded to do? Matthew 10, 17 and 18. But beware of men. For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. Why? For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Verse 20. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. So what are the apostles then giving? They're giving the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit then is inspiring the Word of God on their mouth. Look in verse 20. For it is not you that speak. Who's speaking? Well, he tells us. But the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. In Mark, the 13th chapter, in verse 11, again, Jesus testified that the apostles would not be the ones that were speaking. Mark 13, verse 11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. For whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Well, many times we have this same testimony. Let's try it one more time. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Peter testified to the same thing. Look how many witnesses now we have saying the very same thing. Jesus said it, Matthew said it, Mark said it, Luke said it, and now we're seeing that Peter says it. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And what do men do today? Everybody says, let me tell you what my interpretation is. What does he say? Prophecy of Scripture is not of any private interpretation. Why not? Well, he says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So whose words then did the apostles give? It was not the apostles' words. They were moved by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave the words of God. Then where did the Holy Spirit get his words? In John 16, verses 13 and 14. The Holy Spirit did not speak of himself. Where did he get his words? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Notice that. The Holy Spirit would not speak of himself. Then where did he get his words? For whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. For he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit did not speak of himself, but words that he heard. Did he hear thoughts or words? You don't hear thoughts, you hear words. And the Holy Spirit now heard, and he says what he heard, that will he speak. Now where did he get his words? Verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall give it unto you. So the Holy Spirit did not speak of himself. He spoke the words that he heard from Christ. And then the Holy Spirit gave these words to the apostles. They did not speak of themselves. So who is a faithful witness here? Well, verse 15, Jesus got the words from the Father. So the Father spoke to the Son, who spoke to the Holy Spirit, who inspired the apostles to speak these words, and these words are written down here in the Bible. So whose words do we find here in the Word of God? We find the Father's words. The others all spoke what they heard and saw. And so all of these, the Holy Spirit and Christ and the apostles, they are all faithful witnesses. Then we can count on them to give us the Word of God. Now the question is, can others count on us to be a faithful and true witness? In John the 7th chapter, verse 18, and notice in what we just read here in John 16, verse 14, he shall glorify me. And how's he going to glorify Jesus? For he shall receive of mine and give it unto you. So if I want to glorify Jesus, then what should I do? If I want to glorify Jesus, I know how the Holy Spirit glorified Jesus. He took Jesus' words and gave it to the apostles. And if I want to glorify Jesus, I'll take Jesus' words and give it unto you. In John the 7th chapter, verse 18, he says, he that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did Jesus speak of himself? Jesus said, I can't do anything of myself. Did the Holy Spirit speak of himself? No, he did not. Did the apostles speak of themselves? No, they did not. But what do men do today? What do men do today? They speak their own words. and not the Word of God. When I was in college, I was told that you got to have a text for every sermon. One scripture, and then you can say anything you want to say. So one scripture is the Word of God. We glorify Jesus with one scripture, and then who do we glorify the rest of the sermon? He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory, but he that is true seeks the glory of him that sent him. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 12 and 13. Now we find Paul saying the same thing and doing the same thing. Paul was a faithful and a true witness. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are true, freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So how did Paul speak? He says, we don't speak according to the wisdom of man, but we speak what the Holy Ghost teaches. Then 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, the Thessalonians understood this truth, and Paul glorified God. What happens then if we understand this truth? Then Paul would glorify God for us. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing. Why? Because that when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So whose word was Paul speaking? He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Thessalonians understood that. But how many today say, well, you know, Paul said this, and Paul said that, Peter said this, Matthew said this, and you know, Paul was a woman hater, and they give full credit to the men for the words. But were these prophets and these apostles faithful witnesses, or were they like so many today that were not faithful witnesses? In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 17, the Father gives us another faithful witness. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring into your remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So what's Timothy going to do? Is he going to make up his own sermons? No, Timothy is going to bring to their remembrance. Paul's already taught them. Timothy's job is to bring that to their remembrance. Why? Because we're forgetful people. So what was Timothy then being a servant of? He was reminding them of what they had already heard. Paul was the true and faithful witness to give them the word of God. Timothy was reminding them of what Paul said. He was a faithful witness just like Paul. John the 15th chapter, verse 15, we read that a little while ago. Jesus was faithful to give, and here's your next point, everything that he had heard from the Father. In verse 15, John 15, verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Why? For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Did he give them just what is necessary for their salvation? No, he said, everything that my Father gave me, I've given to you. Now, what do men do today? We hear sermons, first principle, first principle, first principle. What about all the other commands of God? Well, they're not necessary for our salvation, is what I'm told. But in John 16, verse 13, what did the Holy Spirit do? He guided them into all the truth. Did he leave anything out? No, he guided them into all the truth. Why? Because he was a faithful witness. Now, if we also are faithful witnesses of what we've seen and heard, what are we going to preach and teach? Are we going to only take a piece of it and say that's the only thing that's important? Or are we going to give the whole counsel of God? How did Jesus, the Jews now respond to Jesus' witness? And I think we'll skip that part, but the Jews were not able to receive what Jesus said. Here's the question that we have for us today. Do we believe the faithful and true witness? Let's turn to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus now says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, look at the three commands that he gave. Number one, go teach all nations, literally go make disciples. Number two, baptize them, who? Them disciples, bad English, good Bible. Then three, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Now, somebody says, well, what did he just command them? He told them to go make disciples and baptize them. But that's not all. He told them, you teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now, were the apostles faithful? Well, today, are we faithful to teach the whole counsel of God? Acts 20, verses 25 to 27. Paul believed and trusted in the faithful witness. He trusted the faithful witness to do what the faithful witness commanded us to do. Where did he get the command? He got that from the Father. Acts 20, verse 25 to 27. And now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of the word shall see, the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? For I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God. Paul taught them everything that the Lord had taught him. What did Timothy do? He reminded them of what Paul had told the Corinthians. What did he tell them? He told them the whole counsel of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Peter trusted the Lord, and he also taught them the whole counsel of God. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He's not teaching them again. He's reminding them of what he's already taught, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So what is Peter teaching them? He's reminding them of what he's already taught them. Was Peter faithful? He says, yes, you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, there's your Old Testament, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what were the apostles commanded to teach? Everything that Jesus had commanded them. Well, look in John the 12th chapter and see why. John 12, verse 47 and 48. John believed that Jesus, and he taught the disciples to obey all the commands of God. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I am not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. Notice that. The words that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Now, what if a disciple doesn't know all the commands of God? What if they don't know all things that Jesus commanded the apostles? What's going to happen on Judgment Day? They're going to be judged by everything that Jesus spoke. Is it necessary for us to know? Are we going to stand up there before God and say, well, Lord, I just didn't know all these things that Jesus commanded? And what's the Lord going to ask us? Well, you had 168 hours every week. You had how many years? And where did you spend your time? How long would it take you to read all of my word? How many hours would it take to read all these commands of Jesus? Are we really going to have an excuse on Judgment Day when we stand up there and we're going to have to answer for not obeying these? No, they were faithful and true witnesses. We need not only to obey all these commands, we need to be a faithful and true witness and preach the whole counsel of God like they did. John the 17th chapter. Jesus himself was faithful to give the apostles all the commands. And here he says it again. We read it in verse 15. Now he's praying to the Father in John 17, verse 6. And I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest unto me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So what did Jesus do? He gave the apostles all of the truth, not just part of it, all of it. And what did the apostles do? They received all of it. And then what did they do? Then they taught all of it, just like the Lord commanded them. The apostles believed the true and faithful witness. What about us? John 14, verse 21. Do we really love Jesus? Just because I say I love them doesn't mean I do. The Pharisees said they loved God. The Pharisees said God was their father. They were wrong. How do we know if we love Jesus? John 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Who is it that loves Jesus? Those who hear his commandments and keep them. Then John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So how do we know if we love Jesus? Not if we just try to keep his commandments. What does he say? If we keep his commandments. In John the 15th chapter, in verse 9 and 10, Jesus was a faithful witness. And besides being a faithful witness, he kept his Father's commands. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4. What if we don't keep his commandments? What if we don't know the commandments? What if we've never heard the commands of God? And just listening to our preachers today, what happens? Well, we need to find all of the commands of God. 1 John 2, verse 3 and 4. Hereby that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So how do we know Jesus? How do we know the Father? If we keep his commandments. And anyone, that includes me and you, if we say, I know him, but we don't keep his commandments, what are we? He says we're liars. Beloved, we need to obey the commission. We need to trust this true and faithful witness. Not only the first two parts of the Great Commission, go and make disciples and baptize them, but we need to trust him in the third part. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end. He was a faithful witness. What about us? We need to obey and teach. And today, you that are not part of the Lord's body, who have not responded to the Lord's invitation, why not begin today to be faithful? He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to reign with him. He wants us to have our own things in eternity. But if we're not faithful in that which is least, he says we won't be faithful in that which is much. And so we need to follow the one master. In Acts 2 and verse 36 to 38, the apostle Peter was preaching the first gospel sermon. And when they heard this, they were all pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you were there on Pentecost, would you have been one of the faithful? If you would, you would do it today. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You need to be faithful, and the Lord will receive you if you are, and he will prepare a place in glory for you. If you're subject to his invitation, we would encourage you to come now while together we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be